join me in a spirit of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Who do you say I am? It's a pretty clear, blunt question that Jesus poses to the disciples. Who do you say I am? And Peter, with this normal enthusiasm, says, "You are the Messiah." And then Peter does something. Jesus does something that must have surprised Peter. He tells the disciples that they are not to tell anyone else about Jesus being the Messiah, that they are to keep quiet. Now, 2,000 years ago, people's sense of identity, sense of who they were, was often shaped by how they were seen in the community. There was no Facebook. There was no LinkedIn. There was no Twitter. There was no social media. There were no spin doctors or public relations firms. What you did and what you said shaped people's opinions of who you were. Jesus would have known that. And so, in asking this question of the disciples, who do people say I am? Who do you say I am? He was asking them who they were. Because their views of Jesus would in some way have been a reflection of who they were and how they saw things. And we can see this further in the story, when Jesus is starting to tell them how the Son of Man is going to be persecuted and rejected, and then is going to die and will rise again after the third day. This news is shocking to Peter and to the other disciples. And Peter reacts negatively to it. He doesn't want to hear anything about suffering or punishment or rejection. That's not who he sees Jesus as. Jesus is the Messiah. And that's not just a loose title. But Peter understood the Messiah in the terms of the Hebrew religion. And the Jews envisioned the Messiah as being someone who's going to come and throw off the oppressors and restore the glory and prosperity of Israel. The Messiah, in many ways, was a superhero. He was someone charged by God to deliver the people. And that's not what Jesus was talking about. Now, Jesus seems to react kind of sharply to Peter. And he rebukes him and says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." And we can be distracted by the first part of what Jesus says when he calls Peter Satan. And we're wondering about all this name calling. But you remember in Job, which is part of the scriptures that Jesus knew, Satan wasn't a figure with horns and cloven hoofs and a pitchfork, but he was the adversary. He was the person in court who would bring charges. And he's not looking to have an argument with disputatious Peter. And he calls Peter out on what he is doing and what that says about his beliefs. Peter was focused on human concerns and priorities. Peter wanted Jesus to be this great political figure, this leader who was going to fix it, who is going to make everything right. And that's not what the Messiah promised to do. Those were not divine priorities. Now, Jesus then goes on to share one of the most memorable sayings in Scripture. "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want on to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake, and for the sake of the gospel, will save it. For what will profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Now, those are loaded words. And yes, those are words that are good guidelines for living. Chasing after a job or a career, trying to find a way to make a buck or to get that new TV, that is not going to bring us lasting happiness or a sense of fulfillment. We are called to follow the way of Jesus. We are called to serve others. We are called to make sacrifices for the common good. Now, I know this sounds like preacher talk, but this is at the core of being a Christian. This is at the core of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus never told people to go worship a particular church or to follow a specific liturgy. Jesus never called for the faithful to get involved in politics and to start pushing a policy agenda. Jesus called for people to follow him and to do so in faith. Now, sometimes that does mean taking a public stand, and our church has done that. And we have a rainbow stripe on our church sign out in the front lawn, and that tells people that we are open and affirming congregation. And we have a banner hanging in front of the building, which says that immigrants and refugees are welcome here. And that says something else about our priorities. But it doesn't mean that we're joining a particular political party. And I would not want to be labeled because of those actions. I would hope that people would see that those stances grow out of our faith. Now, Jesus, at this point in the story that Mark is telling, it's about halfway through the gospel. And Jesus is going to be turning on the path to Jerusalem, and we know about the confrontation that is going to take place between him and the leadership, civic and religious. And we know that Jesus is going to be tried, and that he is going to be crucified, but he is then going to rise. And I think having a risen Savior is a lot better than having a politician or a military figure or an athlete or someone else telling us what we want to hear. Some of you may remember Timothy Johnson, the doctor who used to appear on ABC News and sometimes appear on a morning program, Good Morning America. And Dr. Johnson, in addition to being an accomplished physician, an educator, was also a Christian. And he described himself not so much as being a Christian, but as wanting to be someone who followed the way of Jesus Christ. Labels should not sum up who we are. And labels should not be used to sum up other people. I don't know how you describe me, who you would say I am. And maybe it'd be complimentary, and maybe it's not. But think then about how people would describe you. The only estimation that really should matter to us in the long run is that which God has for us. And will God look at us and say that we have run the race with faith and grace and courage? And have we dedicated our lives to sharing his message and to caring for his people? That's what Jesus was all about. 2,000 years ago and today. So, I am not going to give you a list of things you should go forth and do. But I am going to ask you to think about today's gospel and to think about what it means for you in your life and what it should mean for us as a community, and then to chart the way forward. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts of the gospel, the gifts of Jesus, the gifts of eternal life. In your name.